Welcome back to Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. Arizona's primary election earlier this week was a disastrous display of the 2013 Supreme Court decision to gut Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act. Voters were in line for as long as 5 hours to cast their ballots. Maricopa County in particular, which is the most racially diverse county in Arizona, faced unacceptable barriers to voting after it cut down its number of polling places from 200 in 2012 to 60 this time round. Some voters told press they eventually gave up and didn't even vote. Changes made to voting rules in North Carolina, Texas, Alabama, and Virginia also appear to have impacted people's right to vote this primary election. My guest is Ari Berman. He is a contributing writer for The Nation magazine, an investigative journalism fellow at The Nation Institute, and his book is called Give Us the Ballot, the Modern Struggle for Voting Rights in America. He just had a piece in The Nation about what happened in Arizona. Welcome to the program, Ari.
Hey, Sonali. Good to talk to you again.
Thanks so much for joining us. Well, first, it I suppose shouldn't surprise us that we are seeing this play out. Is this primary election the first election since that Supreme Court decision to be impacted by it?
Yeah, so this is the first presidential election since the Supreme Court gutted the Voting Rights Act. And it's really the first presidential election in 50 years without the full protections of the Voting Rights Act. The first election since the Supreme Court gutted the VRA was the 2014 election. We saw a bunch of problems in 2014 in places like North Carolina and Texas. Those problems are now being amplified in 2016 because there's higher turnout, more people voting, more restrictions in place. And we're seeing, as we saw in Arizona, 5 hour lines because they cut the number of polling places. They previously would have needed federal approval to do that because Arizona was one of those states that was covered under the Voting Rights Act and had to approve their voting changes with the federal government. But now they can change the number of polling places, for example, and they don't need federal oversight. And this is one of many examples of the really devastating impact of the Supreme Court's decision.
So just to clarify then, it's not that the Supreme Court decision said you can go ahead and reduce your polling places. It simply said you can change your rules any way you like, even, you know, because we think that you changing your rules is not going to impact voting rights for minorities anymore, which is what the VRA was intended to do, because it's just not an issue. And so Arizona chose this route, other states chose other routes, and other states in the future can change their rules any which way, right?
Yeah, and this really showed the value of this one provision of the Voting Rights Act, Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act, that required federal approval for voting changes because, again, you don't really think a whole lot about polling places until they're suddenly eliminated and you don't have them. And so if a county that was as racially diverse as Maricopa County wanted to reduce 70% of their polling places, which is what happened here, that was absolutely something that the Department of Justice and the federal courts would have reviewed and probably would have blocked because minority voters are 40% of Maricopa County. And there's clear evidence that they were disproportionately affected by this. I've heard stories of people that voted in wealthy, wider areas of Phoenix, like Scottsdale, who had very short waits. But in places like downtown Phoenix that are much more racially diverse, that's where you saw 4 to 5 hour lines. So there was a clear racial impact here, whether it was intended or not by the Board of Elections. This is the exact kind of thing that the Voting Rights Act was set up to stop, to review, and to make sure it didn't happen in the future.
And according to MSNBC, twice before, in 1980 and 1985, jurisdictions in Arizona were blocked from changing the number or location of polling places under Section 5, according to Justice Department records. So Arizona's tried to do this before. This time they did it because they could, because the Supreme Court decision allowed them to. And I actually want to play for you and our listeners an excerpt of an interview that Maricopa County recorder Helen Purcell gave to a local affiliate with Fox News.
Well, no, they're not to blame for standing in line, but they went to the polling places. They could have voted early, or, you know, that was their option in this instance. So I don't mean to blame the voters. I think it's wonderful voters went to the polls.
Yeah, I mean, it's an absolutely outrageous statement. The mayor of Phoenix has called on the Justice Department to investigate. I don't see how the head of elections in Maricopa County still has a job. I mean, she clearly made a terrible decision to reduce so many polling places, to reduce 70% of polling places in the midst of a hotly contested election. And she was saying, well, there's early voting in Arizona, there's mail-in voting in Arizona, but still, a lot of people still vote on election day in this country. And it's their right to. And I find it extremely ironic that GOP officials like Helen Purcell in Maricopa County are talking about reducing the number of polling places to save money, but they support things like strict voter ID laws that cost millions of dollars to implement and are totally unnecessary. So
what about the fact that in Arizona, voting officials attempted to mollify critics by saying that they changed the rules as well this time to say anybody could vote in any polling place. In fact, as a result, we heard some voters who went to like five different polling places to try to vote, but there were long lines in every place that they went to.
Well, it's not that helpful to have the ability to vote anywhere if everywhere is going to have long lines. They're really, once you start to have so few polling places, there's really nothing you can do. They had one polling place for every 21,000 voters.
Wow.
In Maricopa County, in a place where there was two contested primaries. There was a contested Democratic primary between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders that was quite close, and there was also a contested Republican primary. It should have been clear that there was going to be high turnout. And there's just really no way to justify this. It's one thing if you try to close 10 polling places, 20 polling places, but to close 70% of the polling places from 2012 to 2016, I don't see how any analysis could have justified this decision.
People familiar with the history of Maricopa County would know that this is a flashpoint nationwide for attacks on particularly Latino Americans, people of Latin American background, but also immigrants, undocumented immigrants, and documented immigrants. Elvia Diaz, writing for the Arizona Republic, said it's no coincidence that many poor and predominantly Latino areas didn't get a polling place. And I'm wondering, Ari, whether this is a grim preview of what we're going to see in November, particularly in Republican-dominated southern states and in states like Arizona, where Republican governors and secretaries of state could make it harder for poor people of color who tend to be Democratic, tend to be aligned with the Democratic Party, to be able to cast votes.
Well, absolutely. We're seeing that all across the country with things like making it harder to register to vote and cutting back on early voting, requiring strict photo ID to cast a ballot. We're seeing the impact in places like North Carolina, where under their primary, they have had lots of confusion over the voter ID law, very long lines, voters turned away. So the primary has been a disturbing preview for what could happen in November. And I'm very concerned about what's going to happen across the country for Hispanic voters, for African-American voters, for other minorities, for younger voters, for lower income voters. I think they all could be targeted by these new restrictions.
Well, there has been a White House petition asking for an investigation. A number of people have launched a single petition to the White House asking for an investigation of what happened in Arizona. So far, as of this interview, it's gotten nearly 100,000 signatures. Have you seen this petition?
Yes, I have. And the issue is clearly resonating with people, but it's not an isolated problem. It's not like it was one official in Arizona who did this. This is something that is occurring in states all across the country right now, whether it's North Carolina or Texas or Wisconsin. We're seeing that 16 states, for example, have new voting restrictions in effect for the first time in 2016, for the first presidential cycle in 2016. And so I think it's a mistake to just say, well, these long lines happen once and this is just an aberration. No, this is in many ways the new normal in a bunch of different Republican-controlled states. And this is just the primary. There's going to be much higher turnout in November. And not only that, there's going to be much more of a partisan dimension here because Republicans are going to be much more focused on trying to disenfranchise Democratic voters. So I think Arizona is a wake-up call for many, many people to realize that this could happen again on a much bigger scale and that we have to do something about it now.
So what can we do about it now? What can the White House do about it, which is being petitioned? What can Congress do about it, if it even, you know, would consider this something worth doing about, given that it's dominated by Republicans? What could the Supreme Court do about this, if anything?
Well, the Congress could restore the Voting Rights Act, could modernize the Voting Rights Act. There's legislation in Congress, the Voting Rights Advancement Act and the Voting Rights Amendment Act to do this. It has bipartisan support, but it has not been moved by the Republican leadership. The White House and DOJ could investigate. They could make sure that places like Maricopa County have enough polling places for a general election. They could also intervene in more states and file more lawsuits. They already are involved in litigation in places like North Carolina and Texas, but they could be involved in more places. And I think this just goes to show you how important of an issue the Supreme Court is in the 2016 election. This Supreme Court, which is now divided 4-4, is unlikely to do anything significant before the election. But I think it just goes to show you that if you were to have a moderate to liberal replacement for Justice Scalia, either by President Obama or by the next Democratic president, that Supreme Court would look at things very, very differently than the Roberts Court. They would not gut the Voting Rights Act. They would not look nearly as favorably on things like voter ID laws. And instead of continuing to erode voting rights, there would instead be a majority on the court to protect voting rights. So I think when you see things happening like five-hour lines in Arizona, I think the first instinct is to blame the election officials, but I think we also have to look deeper at what caused this. This was caused by the gutting of the Voting Rights Act. This was caused by Republican officials all across the country making it harder to vote. And those are the things that we have to address.
And can we thank the late Antonin Scalia in part for what happened in 2013?
Well, of course. I mean, Scalia was a driving force for decades in trying to get rid of things like the Voting Rights Act. During the oral arguments in that 2013 case, Justice Scalia said that the Voting Rights Act had led to, in his words, a perpetuation of racial entitlement. I think one of the most outrageous things
racial
ever said.
Racial entitlement?
Yeah, I think it was really one of the most outrageous things ever said. By a Supreme Court justice in modern times. And so Scalia was basically just summarizing the views of the conservatives on the Roberts Court, which instead of viewing the Voting Rights Act as something that brought millions of new people into the political process, that really made America a democracy for the first time, they instead viewed it as something that was benefiting minority voters at the expense of whites. Really, really outrageous and twisted way of looking at the law.
And so isn't it in the Democratic Party's interest to fix this before November if, as you say, a DOJ investigation could, you know, make some motion? Loretta Lynch and President Obama's, it's in their interest, one would imagine, between now and November to do what a Republican-dominated Congress is unwilling to do and what a divided Supreme Court is unable to do. Do you have any confidence that the Obama administration could do anything?
Well, I think they could be doing more. There's a limit to what they can do. They don't control these states. They don't control elections in these states. I would like to see them being more aggressive in challenging more voting laws that have been passed. But I think there's a limit to their manpower and their ability, and quite frankly, what they can even do under the remaining parts of the Voting Rights Act. I think at this point in time, President Obama's more focused on raising awareness about this because his powers are limited in terms of what the president can do for running elections. I think it's really important for the Democratic candidates to talk about this. I thought it was unfortunate that in the wake of the Arizona lines, some Bernie Sanders supporters were blaming Hillary Clinton for the long lines. When the Democratic candidates, they both were harmed by this. Young voters for Sanders were harmed by the long lines, and many, many minority voters who have broke heavily for Hillary Clinton were harmed by this. So it wasn't like the Clinton campaign was trying to create long lines to disenfranchise the Sanders campaign. That's absolutely absurd. What was happening is that you had Republican officials in Arizona who were reducing the number of polling places. That was something that impacted every voter in the county, but disproportionately impacted minority voters who were voting for both Sanders and Clinton.
And so what may end up as a result of this, because polls before the vote did show Clinton with a large lead, but the only thing that might still remain in question might be exactly how the delegates get split up in Arizona between the two Democratic candidates, right?
Yeah, and honestly, I have not paid a whole lot of attention to that, the sort of delegate math. I've been focused on all of the electoral issues and less focused on the horse race aspect.
Right, yeah, of course. But in terms of just, you know, there being thousands of, potentially thousands of people disenfranchised, that could, in districts like Maricopa County, simply impact which candidate that county got called for. And I suppose that that'll be unfolding in the next few days and weeks.
What I was suggesting is that if people were disenfranchised, it was evenly distributed, and it may have even affected Clinton's campaign more than Sanders's campaign. So I don't think it makes a whole lot of sense that one Democrat did this to hurt another Democrat.
Right. No, absolutely. No, that's not what I was suggesting either. But certainly it'll remain to be seen how those with what confidence they split the delegates between the two candidates still is a little bit up in the air. Well, Ari, I want to thank you so much for joining us. Is The Nation magazine the best place for people to find your writings?
Yeah, at thenation.com. And then they could also find me on Twitter at Ari Berman. And then my personal website is ari-berman.com.
And we'll post links to everything that you just mentioned on our website, risingupwithsonali.com, later today. Ari, always a pleasure to have you on. Thanks so much for the work you do.
Thank you. Good to talk to you, Sonali.
Ari Berman is a contributing writer for The Nation magazine and an investigative journalism fellow at The Nation Institute. His new book is called Give Us the Ballot, The Modern Struggle for Voting Rights in America. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We'll be back in just a moment.